Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the top of Kuf Mem Dalid Omid Aleph. In the Mishnah, we saw a case of a person passing away leaving an estate. In his estate, there were children, older children and younger children. The Mishnah dealt with the issue of improvements that are made in the estate while the estate is as yet undivided. How do we deal with those improvements, with the profits? So the Mishnah mentioned that if profit accrues, the profit is divided equally amongst all the heirs. However, if the older children say, they announce that, behold, do you see what has been left? It has a certain value. We intend to invest our own funds to increase the value of the estate. If that happens, and Beis Din does not divide the estate before they make these investments, and they proceed to make these investments out of their own pocket, the profits that will be realized to those alone that made the investment, and not divided equally. It is at this point that the Gemara begins, quoting our Mishnah. Omru, the older children said, Re'u ma shiniach abo, Hare onu oisin v'oichlin. We are going to invest out of our own pockets, and we're going to enjoy the profits. Hishbichu liatzman, and in fact, if they do this, then the profits are enjoyed by them alone, by those that made the investment. Rav Safra, shavak avua zuzi. Rav Safra's father died, leaving his family, including Rav Safra, money. Shaklinu, Rav Safra took the money, Ovad Behu Iska, and it made an investment with the money, and the profits that are realized are understood to be profits that are not out of pocket, but rather profits realized from the estate itself. Asu achi tavuhu bedino kamei derava. And based on this assumption that taking the money of the estate and investing it and realizing profits from it without Rav Safra spending out of pocket costs, that profit should have been, according to Rav Safra's brothers, should have been shared equally amongst all of the heirs. On the other hand, from this story you can see that Rav Safra intended on taking the profits for himself. Omar Lehu, Rav Rava, in dealing with this case, said to the other brothers, Rav Safra Gavra Rabahu. Rav Safra is a great man, a Torah scholar, and he wouldn't spend his time investing money for others to profit, to share in the profits. And hence, the mere fact that Rav Safra is the one that's making the investments is itself tantamount to an announcement like that which was featured in the Mishnah, and the equivalent of his spending out-of-pocket money to realize these profits. And as a result, Rav Safra alone is the one to benefit from these profits. And that's what Rava says here, Lo Shavik Girsei V'Torach Lachrini. Rav Safra, who is a great man, says, Rava would not spend his very valuable time in trying to make profit for others. Therefore, it's as if he announced beforehand, behold, I am about to make investments. As we continue in the Gemara, we quote from the Mishnah, Isha Sheshbicha Es HaNechosim, Ishbicha Li'emtza. A woman who made improvements in the properties, the improvement is shared by all of the heirs. The topic heading that appears in the outside margin of our daf says, no say, Isha Sheshbicha Es HaNechosim, Mosai Hi Mitchalekes Bashvach. A woman who causes improvements in the estate, when is it said that she, too, can share in the profits? The Gemara asks, we don't seem to understand what is the presence of this woman with regard to making investments in properties belonging to the orphans, belonging to her husband's heirs. Isha, benichsi yasmi mai avidita. What's the woman doing with the nechosim, with the properties that are due to the yisaimim, to the heirs, to the orphans? Let us look at the Rashbam. Isha mai avidita. Oi tito ksubasa v'teilechlo. As far as a woman is concerned with regard to properties left by her husband, either she collects her ksuba payment, and leaves the family from a financial standpoint. Oi titrach kami yasmi v'tiani zoinis. Alternatively, she can invest energies in taking care of the yisoimim, in taking care of the children, and draw sustenance, maintenance, that is mizonos, food, from the estate. Umaisi odea shelohen. And her income, if she's a working woman or she produces some income, that income goes to the family, goes to the heirs, to the yisaimim. The ain law, the histakir b'momon hayorshim, it's not for her to profit from the estate left by the father of these heirs. The Gemara offers an answer. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, if you want to know what the woman is doing here, making investments in the estate, with the money of the estate, Be'isha Yoyreshes. We're talking about a case where the woman herself is one of the heirs. The Rashbam offers several examples to explain how you have a case of an Isha that is one of the heirs. Conventionally, the Isha would be the woman, the wife of the deceased. And as we thought in our question, if she is the wife of the deceased, in a simple understanding, she gets a ksuba or she gets mizonos, but she doesn't deal with the estate itself. So Rav Yirmiyah provides an answer. And as we said, the Rashbam offers several scenarios. One of them is a situation. The first example is a case where a man married his brother's daughter. In other words, an uncle married his niece. Using the chart that we've included on the inside margin based on the Rashbam, you notice there is Reuven who married the daughter of Shimon. The daughter of Shimon and Reuven have rights to the estate of Yankiv. Yankiv being the father of Reuven and Shimon. The daughter of Shimon is in an inheriting position. She is in the line of inheritance as a result of her father. Therefore, in the case that Shimon dies and Reuven dies, who's left in the picture? The daughter of Shimon is left with the sons of Reuven and his wife, and they inherit from the property of Yankiv. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then Pshita, then it's obvious that if the woman made improvements in the property, so the property that increased in value, the increased profits are shared equally. The Gemara answers, Mahu detaimo kevan delav darko lemitrach. One might have thought that since it's not customary for a woman to trouble herself and invest the estate, invest in the estate, afalgav de lo porish kemoy de porish domi. It might be viewed, like we saw before, that even if something is not announced, it's as if it were announced. Namely, the woman's mere preoccupation with making investments with regard to the estate is as if she announced beforehand, behold, I'm about to invest efforts in this estate and I intend to profit personally, to keep the profits for myself. Komash Molon, what the Mishnah tells us is that only if she actually makes such an announcement can we say that the profits go to her. However, if she doesn't make such an announcement, she simply expends energy and makes investments in the estate, in other words, invests the estate's funds and realizes profits, those profits are shared equally by the heirs. V'im omra re'u ma shiniach li ba'ali hareini oiso v'oicheles hishbicho li'atzmo. The Mishnah tells us, if, however, the woman announces, behold, do you see what has been left in this estate? I am now going to invest and I am going to profit. And the Mishnah says that if she makes such an announcement, she can keep the profits for herself. Pshita, that seems to be obvious. So, mahu detema, kevon deshvicha lo milsa. One might have thought that since the fact that this woman is taking care of the estate that's also held by the yesoimim, held by the young children that were left, that she benefits a sense of pride, the Amri, because people say about such a woman, Katorcha Kamiyasmi, that she troubles herself to take care of the Yisraimim. So I might have thought, Achule Achlo. The Rashbam explains, Achule Achlo, V'chozra bo mimash yom rotchiva hareini oisa v'cheles. I might have thought that she's actually retracting her announcement, informing us that she intends to invest the property and realize profits, and by her gained pride in the public eye, maybe she is backing out of that announcement. Komash Malan, what the Mishnah informs us is that she is not mocheles, she's not backing out, and she's relying on her announcement before she made those investments, and relies upon that announcement in order to realize the profits for herself. As you notice, there appears a slash in the Gemara text. This informs us that the ensuing Gemara will be a completely new idea. Before continuing with the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading that appears in the outside margin. Hamasi Isha Livnoi Hagodol Bevayis. A person is marrying off his son, his eldest son, in a house. Konoi, the son that is being married off in this particular house, acquires the house. Aval im oisoi bayis shimesh ka'oitsoroi shalov. If, however, the house that the eldest son is being married off in, that house currently serves as a storage facility for the father, lo kono, then the son does not gain ownership of this house. We will see later that this halacha about a son who's married off by his father, if he happens to be the eldest son, he gains ownership of that particular flat. is one of three halachas that are classified as hilchisa b'loy taima. Namely, they're halachas that don't conform to standard legal procedure. We will see more about this and the two other examples later on. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Chanina, Hamasi Isha Livnoi Godol Bebayis. A person who marries a woman to his son, in other words, marries off his son, his eldest son, in an apartment, in a house, Kono, that son, becomes the owner of the house. This is now qualified with 4 points of qualification, and we've numbered them off, 1 through 4, as you can see. Vedavka Godol, this halacha about son gaining ownership of flat, is provided the son in question is the eldest son. Vedavka Basula, provided also that the woman that he's marrying, it's her first time marriage. Vedavka, not only first time marriage, but she has not been with another man. And number three, Vedavka Ishtoi Rishona, and provided that as far as the son is concerned, it's his first marriage. So we see so far it's the woman's first marriage, and it's the son's first marriage, and it's the eldest son. Vidavka shehisioi rishon. And also, provided that this eldest son is the first of his children to get married. The Gemara continues. Pshita yiched loy oviv bayis ve'aliyah. Bias kona aliyah lo kona. It is simple to understand that if a father pointed out, delineated a particular house, a house that happened to have a second story that's referred to as an aliyah, the son acquires the house but not the aliyah. Gemara now asks about two other cases, and we've called them Aleph and Beis. Bayis ve'achsadro mahu. What is the din with regard to this marrying off of a son in a house that happens to have an entrance porch, an achsadra? It's a type of room that is at the entrance of the house that is characterized by a lot of windows, a fairly open type of porch, if you will. What is the din with regard to the son's acquisition? What does he acquire? Another question. The Rashbam presents this in an in Pinsilomar fashion, namely that if you assume, as far as the Bayis v'Achsadra case, that he gets the Achsadra as well as the Bayis, because the Achsadra is subsidiary to the house, it's meshubed to the house. What about the next case? Shnei botim ze lifnim mize mahu. Two flats, one being an inner chamber with respect to an outer chamber. In other words, there are two apartments. In order to get to the inner one, one would have to go through the outer one. What is the din with regard to the son's acquisition when he is given an apartment in a setup like that? Teku. So this remains unresolved. Meisvei. The Gemara now raises an objection from a Tanaic source. You notice in our marking system, Tanaic sources are featured in frames. Yiched loy oviv bayis uklei bayis. A person delineated for his son a house and house articles. Clay bias kona, bias lo kona. The son acquires the articles, the vessels, but he does not get the house. We've dashed underline bias lo kona because it's from this point that we see a contradiction or a question raised on Rav Chanino's teaching. As far as an answer is concerned, the Gemara provides several approaches. Number one, Omar of Yirmiya, Kagon Shahaya Oitzoro Shel Aviv Munach Sham. The house in question that the source said the son does not get is because the house was serving as a storage facility for the father. The Rashbam says, Oitzoro Besoichoi, Hilkoch Bayis Lokono, the cave on the Mishtamish of the Bayis, since the father is still using the house, Lohotzio Mechezkosoi. He's not getting rid of the house from his possession, Velomakni Le Livno, and is not granting ownership of the house to his son. Number two, back in the Gemara, Nahar Doi Amri, Afilu Shovcha Dioni. Even a bird coop would constitute that which the father is withholding. And hence, the house is not given to the son. Number three, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rav Popi Amri, Afilu Atzitza Deharsina. Even if there was stored in that house a vessel filled with fried fish, Atzitza, a vessel, Deharsina, fish that are fried in oil, even if that were stored in the house, the son would not get the house. Marzutra antseve livrei vitola le sandala. Marzutra married off his son in an apartment, and he hung his shoe in that apartment, thereby demonstrating that he's not intending to give the apartment to his son. Ravashi nasve livrei vitola le ashisha damashcha. Ravashi married off his son and suspended in that apartment a cup full of oil. Another example of the father's intention of withholding the house for himself and not passing it on to his son. Omar Marzutra, Haniklas Mili, Shavinu Rabbonon, Kihilchasa Beloi Taima. The following three halachas are procedures or legal entities that exist without conforming to standard legal procedure. As we go on in the Gemara, we will refer to the Rabbeinu Gershom and his explanation of these. Chada ha. One of the three is the example of marrying a son off in a house, and the son thereby gains possession of the house. The Rabbeinu Gershom, if you notice where the asterisk is at the bottom of the page, Hamasi Isha Livno Godo Bevayis Kono, the son gets the house. Lo Yadinon Mai Taimo Kono Below Shtar Matono Below Kinyon. What's said to be not understood is how is it that the son gains ownership of the house without a document, without a shtar indicating that this is transferred as a gift through this document, nor without a formal gesture, legal gesture, referred to commonly by the term kinyan. And nevertheless, this works. This is a takonas chachamim, as we just said, is hilchasa b'lo taima, meaning a legal entity or legal reality that works, but without conforming to standard procedure. Beis, the next example, idach, the omer of Yudah Marshmuel, ha-koseb kol nechosev li-ishtoi, a person who assigns all of his property to his wife, lo aso ela apotropa. He is making her merely an executor over his estate, and he's not granting her ownership of anything. The Rabbeinu Gershom here at the bottom says, lo aso ela apotropa, shiu noagin lo bonin kovot, so that his sons will respect her. Hence, he's appointing her executor over the estate. What's not clear to us is why is it that she does not acquire ownership. Kevon de Kosav, law, after all, he did write all his property over to her. The third example. Idoch, diomarav, mono li biodcha. A person says, Mr. A says to Mr. B, Mr. B, my dear friend, you owe me $100. Teneu leploni, I want you to give it to Mr. C, b'maimet shloshtan. Mr. C, who is standing here, standing with us three together, kona. Mr. C gains ownership. In other words, Mr. B, instead of paying Mr. A, who was originally owed the money, Mr. B is now obligated to pay the money to Mr. C. The issue of what is being transferred is discussed in other Gemaras. In this case, the Rashbam features the example of when we spoke about something owed, we're referring to an item that was given by A to Mr. B to watch. Mafkid and a Nifkad. Mafkid, the one entrusting the item, the Nifkad being the one entrusted to watch it. And the owner of the item, Mr. A, instructs Mr. B, instead of returning the item to me, I want you to give it to Mr. C. Mr. C thereby becomes the owner. This too is a hilchus b'lo taima, because there's no shtar, there's no document, there's no formal kinyan mashicha done, and nevertheless, Mr. C becomes the new owner of the item. We now turn to Amud Beis, Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the top, and we start a Mishnah. Achin hashutfin shenofal echod mehen l'umenus nofal le'emtza. The explanation of this will be featured at the opening line of the Gemara. However, the Rashbam takes liberties in explaining right immediately while in the Mishnah what the meaning of this is. So what we'll do is we'll learn the Rashbam, but bear in mind that when we read the opening of the Gemara at this point doesn't know what the Rashbam is explaining already. In other words, the Rashbam's explanation is based on the Gemara's answer. So, that having been said, we turn to the Rashbam at the top. Hochi garsinen beseder mishnah achen hashutfin shenofal echod mehen l'umenus. Brothers that are holding an estate jointly, in other words, the estate has not been divided out yet. Umenus hamelech. Umenus is a job that is assigned to them by the king. Shemachmas oviv nofal l'umenuzu. Because of their father, one of these sons was chosen to fulfill a particular profitable role that's assigned by the king. Shekein minega melech, the custom of the king was ma'amid mibayaze moiches chodesh echod umibayazu chodesh echod. A representative of each household was chosen to be a tax collector for a period of a month. So, for 1 month, this family would be chosen to provide a tax collector. The next month, someone else. V'chein mikol bota yir. And thusly, they took turns, each household of the city. In the process of collecting taxes, there was also an element of profit for the one making the collection. So the Mishnah says that if one of the brothers that is in this household gets the role of collecting the taxes and thereby enjoys profits, the profits, the Mishnah says, nofal le'emtza, the profits are shared by the entire household. The Rashbam says, nofal le'emtza, kozman shekonu b'tfusas habayis, harevach le'emtza, that as long as the house has not been divided yet amongst the heirs, the estate, that is, the profits are shared by all. Shehirviach ze be'umnaso, the profits that this one experienced in this particular role. The Mishnah continues, cholo v'nisrape, if one of the brothers became ill and spent money in order to become healthy, Nisrape Mishel Atzmo, the health costs that he incurred must be paid out of his own pocket. This will be explained by the Gemara as well. Tana, high Uminus, equals Luminus Hamelech. The Uminus that the Mishnah refers to is the Uminus, the job, the assignment assigned to him by the king. As we mentioned, the assignment was made per household. And hence, since the profits were made, even though they were made by one of the brothers, since the assignment is an assignment made per household, the profits are shared by all of the brothers. Tonu Rabbanan, Echod min ho'achin, sheminuhu gabai o fulmustus. If one of the brothers was appointed to be a tax collector or a policeman, we now have 2 points that are featured in this particular source, and you can see it's a Tanaic source by the fact that it appears in a frame. Im machmas ha'achin la'achin. If the one chosen to be the tax collector or the policeman was chosen by virtue of the fact he's part of a particular family, then la'achin, then the profits that he realizes will be shared by all of the brothers. Im machmas atzmoi, if, however, a particular brother was chosen by the government because of his special skills, some special features that he had, then la'atzmoi, then the choice, his choice, was not because he was a member of this particular family, but because of his own special skills, and hence he, and only he, will enjoy the profits. The Gemara asks, Im machmas achin la'achin, pshita, if the choice of this particular brother was simply because he's a member of the family, the profits are shared by all of the brothers, that seems to be obvious. The Gemara answers that the chidush, the novel point of this source, is in the following circumstances. Lo yitzricha, this source is necessary, the chorif tfei. The particular brother that was chosen, albeit he was chosen because he's a member of the family, he just happens to be sharper than the rest. Ma'udetema churfei goremle. One might have thought that because he happens to be very bright and sharp and skilled, maybe that's what caused him to be chosen. Komash malon, we're told here that if the custom in that area was to choose a representative per family, it was based on a family basis or a household basis, even though the one that happened to serve that role, even though he happened to be sharper, nevertheless the profits are shared equally. Tonu Rabbanan. We now see another Tanaic source. Echod mino achim shenotal mosayim zuz. One of the brothers that took 200 zuz from the family estate. Lulmoid Torah oi lulmoid uminus. To go off and learn Torah or to go off and study a profession. And this son, this particular brother now, requests meal money to be sent to him from the estate holding. Yecholin ho'achin loy mar loy. The other brothers can say, Im ato etzlenu yesh lecho mezonos. If you are living with us, then you get a portion. You get your meals with us. Im ein ato etzlenu ein lecho mezonos. If, however, you are not together with us, then you do not get a portion. The Gemara now asks, "Veleis fulei kol heichod iisei? Why not give that particular brother his portion wherever he is? Send him the cost of a singular portion and let him buy his portion wherever he is." Now, we don't say that. So the fact that we don't say that, misaya lei l'Rav Huna, this would support Rav Huna's principle. The Omer Rav Huna, birchas habayis beruba. in order to appreciate what Rav Huna is saying, we will look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. He's found underneath the Rashbam in the wide lines, in the outside column. The Rabbeinu Gershom says, Midalo Yavinon Lo. From the fact that we do not give this one brother that went off somewhere else to study, we don't send him an allowance for meals. Misaya Lei Rav Huna. The Omar, Birkas Abayas Buba. This supports Rav Huna, who coined this expression or used the expression that Birkas Abayas Buba Klomar. This means to say, Ner Liechod Ner Lomea. Just like a candle can benefit one, and the same candle benefits 100, what does that mean? Shim hoyu chamisha achim. Imagine there were 5 brothers. Vohoyu mufroshim ze mize kol echod ve'echod lohoitza osoi. And each brother was separated from one another, each one for his expenditures, mistapkin ba'asora pshitim liyoim. Each one would need 10 coins per day. V'achshav kishem b'hoitzo achas, when they're together in a single family unit, dayolohem shmoyne pshitim. It comes out that 8 pshitim as opposed to 10 pshitim would be sufficient. U'mishim hachi einoisim lohotzoso b'chomokam shehu. And therefore, as a result of this, we don't send him an allowance wherever he may be, Dinim sumaf sidim sharachin, because that would then come at their expense, so to speak. In other words, to send a single portion to him, it would cost 10 coins, where each one of them, they suffice with 8 coins. So why should they send him a portion and suffer a loss? In common terms, this may be explained by what we call buying in bulk, where you buy in bulk, the per portion cost is less than buying single portions. As we all know, the single portion cost is greater than that same amount when buying in a bulk unit. The Gemara asks, V'leisfu lei lefi birkas habayis? Why not at least give that son that went off the value of a portion as is prorated per brother in the family unit? In other words, using our example, so if we come to the conclusion that each brother needs 8 coins per day for his maintenance, so send him that amount, send him 8 coins. It might not be enough for that single brother out there to buy what he needs, but at least it's something. So the Gemara answers, in Hachinami, that is true, that he does deserve the per portion cost that his other brothers are getting from the estate. The Gemara continues, Cholo v'nisrape, nisrape mishal atzmo. If one of the brothers became ill and he incurred medical expenses, he must pay them out of pocket. Sholach rovin mishmei derav ilah. Loi shanu elo shechola bipshia. Ravin sends in the name of Rav Ilah that this teaching that he, the brother, has to pay his medical costs out of pocket, this is only if his illness was incurred through negligence. Avo ba'ines, if a person became ill as a result of circumstances beyond his control, nisrape mino emsa, he has a right to draw from the estate for his medical bills. Hechi domi bipshia, what is an example of becoming ill through negligence? Kidei Rabbi Chanina, based on Rabbi Chanina's teaching. Di Omar Rabbi Chanina, hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mitzinim upachim. All matters of a material nature are determined by shamayim. Hence, standard illnesses are not something that a person is considered guilty or negligent when he incurs it. It's something heavenly ordained, with the exception of tzinim upachim, with the exception of ailments that are a result of cold or heat. Shenemar tzinim pachim bederech ikesh. The ailments of cold and heat are in the ways of the crooked. Shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. Someone who's careful about himself will distance himself from them. Hence one sees from this pasuk that the ailments incurred through cold and heat are something that a person has control over. And hence when one suffers an illness as a result of these factors, it's a sign of his own negligence. We now come upon a new Mishnah. In the outside margin, we have a heading called Nosei Klali, a general topic that will last till Kuf Mem Hei Omid Beis, called Shushbinus. Shushbinus is an institution whereby a person who is Misameach, who causes joy to a Chosen, a person getting married, his friend comes and is Misameach him, provides joy and pleasure. He, the friend who's coming, not only is Misameach him, he eats a meal with him, he eats the wedding meal with him, and he also brings gifts to this Chosen. When the friend's turn to get married arises, it's expected that the one that got married previously will now come and return the favor, so to speak. But it's more than a favor. This is of a legal nature. The one returning to Misameach, the original friend, he too will spend time causing him joy and pleasure, but is expected to return the gift, the similar value of gift that he received when he got married originally. The Mishnah, Ho'achin She'osu Miktsoson Shushbinus Bechaye Ho'av. Chozra Shushbinus, Chozra Le'emtza. Sha'ashushbinus Nigves Bebeisdin. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam on the Mishnah, Hochi Garsinon, Hoachin Shosu Chelko Miktsoson Shushbinus Bechayoav, Shesholach Hoav Es Echod Mibonov Lismoach Es Ochoson. A father sent one of his sons to a man getting married to provide him with joy. Ubiyodoi Doironois, and this father sent his son with gifts in hand to bring to the chosen, to bring to the groom. Shekein derech shushbinus. Thusly is the custom with regard to this act. Notel doron lesimchas chupas chavero. He brings a gift to the wedding of his friend. V'oichel imoi, and he eats with him. V'ze yachzir lo kemokein kishiso isha. And the one who is currently getting married will, in the future, when his friend is about to get married, will return the same. As the Gemara points out later, there are 5 points that are relevant to this institution known as Shushbinus. The next Rashbam, Chozra Shushbinus, Keshiyachzor Ze Haben V'Yiso Isha, V'Ze Yachzir Shushbiniso, when this second one is now about to get married, and the original groom is now returning the gifts. Chozro le'emtza. The gifts are returned to the household, to all of the brothers, and they share in the value of those gifts. Continuing in the Rashbam, Nigves Bebeisin, it was pointed out in the Mishnah that Shushbinus is collected in court. That means that this has a legal status. Kedin, the Rashbam says, milve avihem, uvagamora poruchalo. This is considered as if it were a loan extended by their father. So hence, when it's paid back to all of the heirs. Continuing in the Mishnah, avol hashaleach lechavero kade yayin vekade shemen. If a person sends flasks of wine or oil, ein nigvin bebeizdin, those types of gifts are not collected by Beis Din, b'nei shehein gemilus chasodim. Those are simple acts of good-naturedness that don't fall under the category of shushbinus. The Gemara opens up with a Taneg source that seems to contradict our Mishnah. As the Gemara opens, it opens with Viramini, a word indicating contradiction in Taneg sources. Following the Taneg source, you will notice triangles, three in number. What is the role of these triangles? In our marking system, geometric forms represent a series of something. The triangle being one of many different geometric forms that we use to represent series. In the outside margin, we have an explanation of what is about to happen. So let us glance at the outside margin. Nosei mivneh, the topic combined with a structural note. You see a triangle featured. Gimel, or three yishuvim, resolutions. Three resolutions, l'stira, to a contradiction, bein ha-mishnah l'braisa, between the Mishnah and the Braisa, which we haven't learned yet. By Mishnah Katoni, the Chozer Shushbinus, Chozer Lamsa. The Mishnah says that when the Shushbinus is returned, it's returned and shared by the brothers, Mischalek Bein HaYorshim, that it's divided out amongst all of the heirs. Ube Braisa Katoni, Chozeres Lo. And the Tanakh source that the Gemara opens up with indicates that it's returned to the specific brother that was originally the one sent to Misameach. La'oisoi, echad shesimeach, to that particular brother that was Misameach originally. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Viramini, we raise a contradiction. We've broken the source down into two parts. Aleph, sholach loy oviv shushbinus. A father sent one of his sons to fulfill this role that we've defined already, and we'll call it henceforth as Shushbinus. Kishihi choizeres, when repayment is made, choizeres loy. And notice, we've dashed underlined the expression choizeres loy, and also included an arrow in the space immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Try to find a parallel arrow, and if you'd skim up a few lines, you notice another arrow pointing similarly to a dashed underline expression. What does it say there? It says Chozer Le'emtza. That means it's when the Shushbinus is returned, it's shared by all the brothers. And in this source it says it's returned to the specific brother that went originally to Misameach. This is a problem. The source continues, Nishtalcha Le'oviv Shushbinus. If the father of this family once upon a time received Shushbinus, someone brought him gifts and was Misameachim, the father is in the position now to return the Shushbinus. However, the case described here is a situation where that father didn't live long enough to return the Shushbinus. He died before he ever had a chance to. Keshi Chayzeres, when the gift is returned to the original Shushbin, Chayzeres Mino Emtza. The payment for those gifts are paid by this family from the jointly held estate. The Rashbam quotes the idea that it's a mitzvah on the Yesoimim to pay off their father's debt. The question, though, has been raised from the Aleph section, from the first section of this source. As we pointed out, here in this Bryce it says Choseres Lo, that the Shushbinus is returned to a specific brother, to the one that was Mesameach originally, and the Mishnah indicated Chozro Le'emtza, that when it's returned, the Shushbinus is returned and shared by all of the brothers. To resolve this contradiction, Omar of Asi, Omar of Yochanan, Ki Tnan Nami Masnisin Nishtalcha Le'oviv Tnan. Our Mishnah that talks about something shared by all, said Chozro Le'emtza in the Mishnah, it really means Choizeres Min Ho'emtza. That the Mishnah is describing a different scenario than what we originally thought. It is, in fact, the scenario of the second part of this brisa, where the father had to return the shushpinus upon having received it originally. So, though the Mishnah uses the expression chozra le'emtza, we should understand it as chozeres min ho'emtza, that it's now the father's turn to repay, and he's not around anymore, so it's repaid from all of the brothers, namely repaid from the estate. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice that there appears a double underline a couple of times. It's a repeat question. In other words, a few questions will be raised as we go along on this particular answer. The Gemara asks, V'ho achin she'osu miktsosan shushbinus kotoni. The Mishnah opened up with a case different from that which Rabbi Yochanan is describing. The Mishnah is opens up with a case where one of the brothers had done shushbinus to someone else, and now it's the turn of the others to return to this family. Not like Rabbi Yochanan said that it's this family's turn to pay to others. Quite the opposite. It's the Mishnah is talking about a case where payment is being made to the family. So we answer, Tani, understand the Mishnah differently, rather, limiktsasan. Namely, that shushbinus was done to some members of the family, and now it's their turn to return to others. The Gemara asks once again, but v'ha chozra shushbinus katani? The expression chazra shushbinus implies that others are coming to this family, and not that this family is now in the position to pay to others. Once again, not like Rabbi Yochanan described. So we answer once again for Rabbi Yochanan, hachi ka'omar. Notice we've used a slashed, dashed underline when we are providing the answers on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan. Hachi ka'omar, chazra ligvois. Nigves me'emsa. The use of the expression chazra is not a reference to shushbinus being paid to this family, but rather the family now needs to return the payment. In other words, they're coming, the ones who originally received, the ones who originally provided the shushbinus are now coming to collect. And that collection is made from the jointly held estate. At this point then, Rabbi Yochanan provided his understanding of the Mishnah. It's true that it required a full re-understanding of the Mishnah, but that's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. And as you can see from the, if you follow the markings, we had presented Rabbi Yochanan in a triangle. We then had double underlines under those points that were a question on his approach, and we used a slashed underline at the point the Gemara was providing an answer. So the last marking that you saw was in fact a slashed underline indicating Rabbi Yochanan's response to the questions. We come upon a new answer. Answer one was actually Rav Asi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Here we have Rav Asi providing his own approach. Rav Asi Omar. Rav Asi says that leave the Mishnah as it is, namely that shushbinus is now being paid back to this family. And nevertheless, lo kashya, there is no problem or contradiction between the Mishnah which said chozer le'emtza and the Tanaic source which said chozeres lo, that it's returned to a specific brother. Kan bistam, kan bimeforesh. The case of the Mishnah involved a situation where the original shushbinus was sent in a general fashion. Namely, the father sent one of the sons saying, will one of you go to that particular chasan? The case of the brisa is where when the father sent his son to offer shushbinus, he sent a specific son. I want you particularly to go and mesamech that chosin. And therefore, when that chosin comes to repay the shusbinus, he is going to repay it to that specific son that was assigned originally. Kidisanya, as is borne out by the following Tanaic source. 2 points which illustrate these two different situations. Shalach loy aviv shushbinus, a father sent in a general form, namely, without specifying a particular son, he sent shushbinus to a particular chosan, to a person getting married, kishi choseres choseres lo. We must correct an error we just made. Well, the case number one, in fact, is the opposite of what we said. Case number one is shalach loy aviv shushbinus. This is a case where the father sent in a specified fashion a particular son. I want you to go and perform the shushbinus. Kishi choseres choseres lo. When the shushbinus is returned, it's returned to that very same son that was chosen originally to mesameach. Case two, sholach oviv shushbinus stam. If a father sent the shushbinus in a general, undefined fashion, namely, he requested one of the sons without specifying any one particular, will one of you go, please, to mesameach? Kishi choseres choseres lamtza. When it eventually is returned, it's returned to all of them, and they share it equally. They share that, those doronos, they share those gifts amongst all of them. A third approach to resolve the Mishnah and Braisa, provided by Shmuel. The Rashbam explains that Shmuel will tell you that the Braisa that said that one who was sent to do Shishbinus, when it is returned to him alone. The Mishnah, on the other hand, that spoke about Shishbinus being returned, Le'emtza, is talking about a very special case. It's talking about a case of a Yavam. Let's first read the Gemara and then offer some more detailed explanation. Ushmul amar hocha biyavam askinon. In our Mishnah that said choseres laemsa, we're talking about the one getting married is the yavam. In other words, there was an original fellow sent to do shushbinus, and we anticipated him receiving the shushbinus in return. However, he is not around anymore to receive the shushbinus. And we say about a yavam, she'enu noitel baroi kebamuchzak. A yavam does not collect that which is outstanding. He gets only that which is in current possession. What we will do at this point is we will look at the Rashbam. Rashbam, you find on the lower part of the page, Ushmul Amar Li Oilom Kidikotoni Braisa. We are to understand the Braisa as it is, the of Hasholeach Shushbinus Al Yad Echod Mibonov, a father who sent Shushbinus through one of his sons, Choseres Laoso Aben Levado, it's returned to that specific son that was sent on the mission originally. Umasnisen Dekotoni Choseres Leemtza. The Mishnah that speaks about it being returned and shared by all of the brothers, Hani Mili Shemes Haben Shenishtalcho Shushbinus Al Yodo. The son that it was originally sent died. V'ro'i Hoyo Lachzer Lo. In truth, it should have been returned to him, Elo Shemes. Rather, this particular son died. V'yibeim echod mino achim es ishto, and one of the other brothers married the widow. This is all taking place, this marriage is taking place before the shushbinus was done. V'rachmona omar yokum al shem ochiv l'nachlo. The Torah says that a brother who marries the widow of his deceased brother, in the context of Yibum, he inherits his deceased brother. He takes over his brother, so to speak. V'dino hoyo litol hashushbinus b'malkem ochiv. And as such, if his brother was said, the deceased, that is, was said to receive, to expect the return of that shushbinus, so he, the yavam, should have should receive that shushbinus. Ilav dekaya rachmona bechor, if not for the fact that the Torah refers to the Yavam by the term bechor, kedektiv oya bechor v'chule. As the Pasuk in Sefer Dvorim says, regarding Yavam, it says habechor. And what is the rule of inheritance that applies to a bechor? Ve'en habechor nota b'roi kebemuchsak. A bechor does not receive his extra portion from that which is outstanding. That's roy, anticipated funds. He receives his portion, his extra portion, only from that which is in the possession of the estate at the point that the father died. The shushbinu's payment was part of, is considered an anticipated collection. It hasn't been paid yet. It's an outstanding payment. And as a result of that, the Yavam cannot get it. What happens? The shushbinus, when returned, is returned and shared by all of the surviving brothers. The Gemara raises a question, and you'll notice that this is a long question marking that's represented by the encircled kuf that's to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a dashed vertical line that continues to the top of kuf mem hei omen aleph. The fact that we are presenting the Yavam scenario as an answer to the Mishnah, what we are really saying is that the original groom does have to return payment, the shushbinu's payment, even though he in effect is returning it to someone other than the one that was originally misameach him. So we have the returner returning it to, as we said, someone else, someone other than the one he expected to return it to. This raises a question. And the question the Gemara will say is, why is it that the shushbin cannot say, hey, I'm very willing to pay, just give me the one that I owe it to. Give him to me so that I can misameach him. Of course, he's dead, and we can't do that. But as a result of this type of claim, we would like to say that the shushbin should be exempt from paying. Namely, he's willing to pay, but provided he can return the favor to the one who gave it to him. Of course, in order to issue such a question, it has to be based on something. And this we will see shortly. The Gemara continues. Michlal, we can infer from this discussion, namely that Shushbinu's payment is made to the Yavam, the Idoch Mishalem, that the original groom is obligated to pay back the Shushbinu's. Ah, but why should that be? Lemo, let the one who's coming to pay back say the following. Tenu li shushbini ve'esmachimo. Give me my friend and I will misamech him. I will make him happy and I will pay him. Milo, Tanyo, don't we have precedent in the following Tanaic source for a similar type of argument? This source deals with the return of Kesef Kiddushin, money presented to create a marriage. What happens in a case where the marriage never comes to be? In other words, a man is Mekadesh a woman, he begins the marriage process, but they never come to consummate the marriage through Nisuin, because one of them dies. What happens with the Kesef Kiddushin? What happens with that money that was paid to create the first stage of the marriage? The source says, Mokom shenoagu lahachzir kiddushin machzirin, where it is the custom to restore, to repay the Kesef Kiddushin. Let us say, for example, the woman died while they were in the state of Irusin, the first stage of marriage. She died. So where the custom is to, for the family of the deceased woman to repay the money to the man, to the husband, so repayment is made. Mokam shenagu shelo lahachzir, ein machzirin. Where, however, the custom is not to repay, no repayment is expected. The Omar of Yosef bar Abba, Omar bar Ukva, Omar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Elo Shemei Sahi. This teaching is true only if we're talking about a case where the woman died. Avo Meis, who? If the man died, if the husband died, Ein Machzirin. There is no need for her, for the woman, to repay the money she received. Why not? Yecholahi Shetoimah, she can say, Tenu li bali vesmachimo, give me my husband, and I will experience joy with him. I will marry him. So we see that such a claim of Tenu li, give him to me, and I will continue. Hachanami, let us say the same thing with the Shushbin, who's coming to repay his Shushbinus, and let him say, Neimo, Tenu li Shushbini vesmachimo, give me the one that was Mesameach me, I will Mesameach him, and if not, so I don't have to pay. The Gemara answers, in fact, this is a solid claim. In general, the friend could say, give me the original friend that came to make me happy. However, this is a special case. The case that is featured by our Mishnah that we said, Chazru Liamsa, that the friend is obligated to pay. Omer of Yosef, Hochebe Mayaskinon, here, what are we talking about when we say payment has to be made? Kegon shesimeach imo zayin yemei mishte. That in fact he did. The friend did, misameach, did offer simcha and joy with the original friend. They experienced the joy of the 7 days that follow the wedding. Follow he speak leporo achemes, and he simply didn't have a chance to pay the gift until the new chassan died. So, as a result of the original supposed claim, give me my shushbin esmachimo, in fact, he was mesameach oto. He did provide the joy, and all that remained was the actual payment, and hence he is obligated to pay. But as we said in the Mishnah, that payment is, because it's talking about a yovam case, the payment is made and shared by all of the surviving brothers. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.